What is up, boys and girls and everything in between? This is Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She is well caffeinated and still Leah. How are you, my dear?
I'm just doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
You're on coffee number two that I'm aware of, which means you should be buckling up because this is going to be one of those episodes.
And it's only 10 a.m., which is weird. Normally
we're off to a hell of a start. She's forgotten how...
Normally, we record in the afternoon, but we're recording in the morning.
That could be a real game changer.
A real game changer.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
I, too, am reasonably caffeinated and very excited. This is going to be an episode we will never forget, because I'm going to confirm something that has been on the minds of the Bear With Us listeners for quite some time, and that is that, no, Leah doesn't just sing on the show for your entertainment. I sat in the car yesterday with her and was subjected to the entire Chicago soundtrack.
Okay, not even the entire, just three songs.
It felt like an eternity.
I felt like, you know what? We've been together for a while now, and I don't want to deprive you from hearing the angelic sounds of my voice and the amazing fact that you couldn't probably tell if it was me or Roxy Hart in the seat next to you.
Well, I don't know who Roxy Hart is,
well,
aside
that's
from
too bad.
You telling me how important she was yesterday.
In Chicago. She's the lead.
Okay, so we've covered
Roxy
Chicago.
Roxy Hart.
We know of your
the
big...
The name on everybody's lips is gonna be Roxy.
I'm gone already. I've already
and
been
all that
derailed.
Jazz.
I was more or less going to say, okay, beyond the Chicago soundtrack that I was subjected to, you believe that you hit the notes in Whitney Houston.
Babe, I don't believe I hit the notes. I did hit the notes. Also, I was not warmed up. We were in a car. It was not a good environment for the sound. The acoustics were bouncing off the sunroof. I didn't warm up. I didn't do my little 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then it starts 7, 7, 6, 7, 7, 6, 5, 6, 7.
Do you hear that sound?
The sound of an angel?
No, the collective sound of all of our listeners simultaneously switching off the show.
Going, whatever.
We're done. That's it.
Okay.
No mas.
You're obviously very jealous and insecure over the fact that I could really take off like Whitney. And you're going to be like my Bobby Brown if you don't f***ing buckle down, all right?
Oh, man. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go?
Oh, some sex.
Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises.
Blue Chew is made in the USA. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor or wait in line. It's even cheaper than a pharmacy, and they prepare and ship it right to you in a discreet package. So no awkwardness, and you don't even need to leave the house.
That's wonderful. That way your neighbors don't know what a maniac freak you are. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code BEARWITHUS. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BLUECHEW.com, promo code BEARWITHUS to try it free.
Again, that's BLUECHEW.com, promo code BEARWITHUS, B-A-R-E, to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring our podcast.
What are we talking about today?
Okay, so I'm really excited about today. If you don't know about this book, then you've probably been living under a rock.
Well, I have not been living under a rock, and until you brought it to my attention several months ago, I never even knew it existed.
But have you heard of it?
Prior to? I don't think so. Maybe.
Okay. We're not going to leave you waiting on the edges of your seats any longer, but today we're going to be talking about the love languages. Bonjour. Je m'appelle Léa. Hola. Me llamo Léa.
Okay, so you're already self-proclaimed trilingual. Does this make you quadlingual?
Quadlingual. Yes, because I do speak the language of love. Hell is for the way you look at me. Okay, no more singing, I swear. So this book was called The Love Languages. It actually came out, which is so wild, I realize, in 1992.
They didn't even have electricity back then.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Gary Chapman is the one who wrote the book. But I think it really took off. I think maybe about like 10, 15 years ago, people started finding out about this book. But it's been out for a long time. So essentially what it's about is the fact that everyone has their own love language. I don't know if he was a therapist or what his deal was, but I read halfway through the book. I didn't read the whole thing. I'm terrible. Whenever I start a book, I never finish it.
That's not a good quality to have.
I know, because then I get bored and then I move on to the next book, or I get bored and I do something else.
So you've read the first half of most books.
Well, that's a lie. I'm lying. But This book in particular, I read halfway through and then I just didn't finish it. Once I learned that you can like take a test and you can find out what they all are, you don't really need to read the book. But the whole point of the book is he found out that all of these couples were having these issues because we all have different love languages and we all need love and desire love and give love in different ways. And if you don't speak the same language as your partner and you're unaware of how they need their love, then you're going to have a lot of conflict.
It all comes down to how you receive it and how you give it up.
Yeah.
Because you could have the same strong feelings for another person, but if you don't convey it the same way, you're setting yourself up for disaster.
Exactly. And we're all about giving and having and receiving. Any Friends fans out there? It's so good. Anyway, I know you don't know because you don't watch Friends. So let's talk about the love language.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, what are these aforementioned languages?
There are 5 love languages, okay? Let's kind of go through them and see what we would think would be different ways that they would speak this language. Number 1 is quality time.
That's an important
undivided one. Attention, no cell phone, no TV, whatever it is that you're doing with your partner, you're in it and you're not
being present. That's a thing that I've studied a lot recently from a meditation standpoint. It's just about being still, being present, not worrying about what's going to happen 5 minutes from now or what happened 5 minutes ago. Just be in it all the time. And if you can do that with another person and you're on the same page without any sort of distractions, you can just be. And that to me is heaven.
I'm about to burp. I drank too much coffee.
I don't think I've ever drank coffee that fast that it forced a burp.
It's not because I'm drinking it fast. Also because I usually drink it out of a straw, but someone
I did not get you a straw because it's Starbucks where they have a hole that is designated for your face.
Oh, I can think of a hole designated for my face.
What?
I think you're sitting on it.
Jesus. Wow.
Anywho.
What's the next love language?
Is words of affirmation. Which that doesn't mean necessarily like just telling them how great they are all the time, but just different things, like different compliments or
praise.
I tell you how much you make me laugh. That's words of affirmation because you're pretty funny. Next love language, physical touch.
Big fan of this one as well.
It's not necessarily over the top PDA, like trying to make out with your partner in public, but any sort of affection, maybe holding hands, hugging, kissing, receiving gifts.
That's a language of love.
It's a language of love.
People feel love and give love just by physical
because
objects.
It's not about... It's not materialistic. It's based off of, I thought of you when I saw this. It reminded me of you. I thought you would like it. Just like something small.
So it's not what it is. It's just that it is something.
Right. Receiving gifts. It's something that you felt like, oh, this person would really like this. I don't care if it's a f***ing eraser at CVS.
Have you ever bought an eraser for a partner?
I mean, if you really were into erasing things.
You were like, man, I was at Rite Aid and I saw these erasers and I couldn't help but think about you.
Yeah. I mean, why not? If that's something you liked, I would do that.
I'd be like, I was thinking of your nipples, so I bought you a pink eraser.
Oh my God, you're stupid. Okay, and then the 5th and final is acts of service.
Oh, this sounds kinky.
No, it's like actions speak louder than words. maybe you know how much it annoys me that you don't do the dishes. So you do the dishes. That's
I do the
an
dishes
act of
a lot.
Service. Yes, you do.
You've now that you've, let's break that false narrative that you've been pushing since we began this podcast that I'm somehow adverse to.
I think it's because I talk about
dishes.
It all the time
you
on
shame
this
me.
Podcast.
You shame me into cleansing the dishes.
Right, and now you do it. So, I mean,
in an act of service.
Works.
Yeah. There it is. You bully me into cleaning the kitchen.
But it's the thought that, you know, you're putting in time and effort into something that you know your partner values, like cleaning the house or something small. It doesn't have to be like a big gesture.
So we've covered all of the five love languages.
Those are the five love languages.
They're actually just shortly ahead of you in the amount of languages. There were five love languages. Leah now claims to speak
four. English, Spanish, French, and love.
Great. Now that we've established that.
What's it like being with someone who can speak so many languages?
Confusing.
Okay, so because we knew we were going to do that, or not even because we knew we were going to do this, I think it was a couple of weeks ago on the couch, we were chatting about this. We were bored, so I was chatting you up a little bit. See what I did there. And we took the quiz. I mean, I already knew what my love language was, but I retook it because I wanted to make sure it hadn't changed over the last few years. And it hadn't. It's still the same. And you took the quiz as well.
I sure did.
Well, let's talk about your love language. What is your number one love language?
Well, first, where did we find the quiz in case people listening
to
this want
to
hear
basically,
it?
You just go to, let me look it up here, 5lovelanguages.com. The number 5lovelanguages.com.
There's not like dialects. There's not like a slang
language. I mean, well, we already know that.
I've spent the better part of last week suffering through your slang love language in the form of Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. So many goddamn times that I now know every word.
Wop, wop, wop. This witch ass pussy. Get a bucket and a mop. For this witch ass.
If Mary Poppins was looking to get after it.
There's some hoes in this house. There's some whores in this house. They're all in the house. Where are they? I don't know. Okay.
Can't feed a mogwai after midnight. You can't give Leah coffee.
Oh, my God. I've just been on another level, you guys. I think because just spiritually and mentally, I'm just losing it. So here we are.
She's unraveling before our very eyes and ears.
Unraveling. So what is your love language, babe?
Well, according to the test that we just took, my number one, my most fluent, is quality time.
So I would have guessed for you, because me knowing you and understanding how you operate, what makes you tick, when you're off, I for sure thought yours was going to be physical touch. Because you, like when we spend time apart, if you're at work or we're on the road opposite places, you're always like, I need touched. You always say that.
I do.
And when we're not together.
That's more of me being a pervert than.
Oh, please.
Romance.
No.
Okay.
That is not true.
All right.
You're trying to play it up like you're a perv, but you're actually romantic.
The two aren't mutually exclusive.
Well,
I can
you
be both.
Just said it's because you're a perv and not because of romance.
Okay.
So let's just get that straight.
You were wrong.
But that's your second love language. And it was pretty high up there. It was a difference between like 1 or 2%. So I was not wrong, just a little wrong.
Left of center, slightly.
So quality time. Is it accurate?
It's definitely accurate because like you were saying, I'll send you messages when we're not together, but that's more of like, hey, I'm thinking about you. I would rather be hanging out doing nothing with you than wherever I'm at, even if I'm doing nothing by myself or on the road with my friends. If I'm not with you, we talk about it all the time. Our favorite thing to do is be old people and sit on the couch and watch Married with Children and do nothing.
Right.
But I'm doing nothing with you and it's cool and we don't even have to say anything. We don't have to have deep conversations. So usually that's where they happen is when we're, you know, after a few cocktails sitting on the couch, we have our best talks about life. But to me, that's like the most valuable part of a relationship or even a friendship. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's where I feel most connected to you.
Right.
So I would totally agree that quality time is my primary language.
So for me, my love language is also quality time. So we speak the same love language, which is why I really feel like we're most of the time we're on the same page. So when things are off, I'm so confused. I don't get it, because it's like most of the time we're here. We're like same level playing field.
Right. And 99% of the time, if we get into a miff or an argument, it's because we're
not together. Yeah.
And we haven't been for some time, for several days.
Like, for example, over the last 2 weeks, we have fought more, I would dare to say, than our entire relationship.
I think that's a fair assessment.
The last few weeks.
Yeah.
We've just been off, mostly because I've been stuck at home. You've been on the road more often than you normally are.
Right.
So we haven't been around each other. And for us to connect and feel like we're on the same page, we have to be near each other. Which is weird, if you think about it, because we did long distance for so long.
Yeah, we've spoiled ourselves.
So why all of a sudden?
I think maybe
is
it's because we had
us?
To do it long term or long distance for so long that once we didn't have to, it became, oh my God, how did we ever live like that? Like it's unfathomable to me to be apart for that long now. I mean, it's a very real possibility. Circumstances and what we do for a living will be in this situation again.
Yeah, for sure.
But even like coming home after this last run, usually the first day back, it's like, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. We were like so far off. You were at the airport when we first bumped into each other.
Yeah.
And I could tell almost immediately, like, you weren't you.
Yeah.
And I was exhausted and tired. And all I wanted was, oh, it's so good to have you home and to be touched.
Right. And but, loved.
Right.
But I was feeling off.
Right. And it kind of skewed the whole next couple days, like the next 2 days
until I left
again.
Those are only 2 days together. Right. Yeah. So we had spent 2 days together for an entire 2 weeks. So those 2 days were spoiled because I was in a mood and I was not feeling the love or connection that we normally have. And you were coming home to get that love and connection that we normally have, but I wasn't giving it to you because I was feeling not myself. And then because of that, you were annoyed with me. And then it was just this whole like, ugh, so annoying. But we got through it.
Sure did.
And it is what it is. We learn from it. We grow from it. And you just got to roll with it. We can't let those negative times dictate the rest of our relationship. Because guess what? We're going to have worse times than that. So
what is your secondary love language?
My secondary love language, which I'm not surprised, is words of affirmation. I grew up, I think, like my family, everyone is so complimentary. Everyone is so, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you for this. You do so well at XYZ. Oh, I'm proud of you. You did this so well on your test. Everyone is so like open about compliments and telling each other how amazing we all are. Like that's just how I grew up with my family, my parents, my sister. We're always open with that. So I think because I grew up like that, that is just sort of what I've adapted in my life and how I've been in relationships. Before I knew what the love language, like what they all were, like with you, for example, I feel like I could a million times a day, I tell you how handsome you are, like how much I love you, how funny you are. And I'm not even saying this to like pat myself on the back.
I'll verify. That's
like,
a real thing.
I'm constantly like talking about how great you are all the time. So then sometimes I'm like, well, what the hell? Like, why doesn't he say this stuff back to me? Like, I always remember the one example would be like, it had been almost like 2 months. So you hadn't told me that I was pretty. And you were like, why is that even a thing? Like, why do you even know that it's been that long? And it's like, well, I don't know. I just feel like I haven't heard that from you in a while. Like, and you're like, but why? You know you're beautiful. That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I want to hear it from my partner.
And so that is almost foreign to me, that concept. I'm sure it has to do with like how I grew up and what I do for a living. Growing up, my family's very close. I mean, I love them all, but we're not constantly in touch with each other. I'll go weeks without talking to my siblings or my parents.
Right. And see, that's weird to me because I'm, you know, my family, we talk a million times a day.
The whole verbal affirmation thing was just never a thing. Sure, if I did something cool, my parents would go, oh, hey, good job. But that was never anything I grew up with. The environment we work in, the people that you would want to be complimented by usually only acknowledge you when you screw up.
Yeah.
So you just kind of go, okay, no news is good news.
Yes.
And I've probably, correctly or incorrectly, carried that over into my personal life where I look at things, and not that this is right, but this is how I look at it. I'm with you. I love you. We share our life together. What difference does it make if I say, hey, you look pretty today? obviously to you, that's something that's important. It's never been a thing in my life.
Right.
Even my last relationship, that was on both ends. It was never like, yeah. It honestly makes me a little uncomfortable sometimes when you compliment me because I don't know how to take it. Like, right. I understand it's a compliment. There's no ulterior motive.
Right.
Now, knowing this love language deal, I go, oh, she's saying this because she means it. And I'm appreciative of it, but I still kind of like clam up and lock up. But I'm like that in any aspect of life.
Right.
Like if someone compliments me about my job at work,
yeah.
I kind of go, oh, thanks, but I just don't know how to take compliments.
Right.
It kind of just throws me off and makes me uncomfortable.
Right. Well, and that's something I feel like I've learned as well as a woman, the older you get. Like, I feel like this is maybe getting a little off topic, but a lot of times when you get a compliment, you're like, no, I'm not great. No, I'm not pretty. Like when someone compliments, you're like, oh, stop.
Mm-hmm.
No, like just say thank you, acknowledge it, feel it. Let's move on. You don't have to make it a thing like, oh, no, stop. No, I'm not. Like I hate when people are like, no, just let the person tell you that they think you're good, whether they mean it or not, and just move on. Like I hate when girls like, oh, no, I'm not pretty. Oh, stop. Like just say thank you and let's move on. But we're being very open right now, and we've never even really, maybe we've had this conversation before, but to know like, okay, this is something that I've grown up around and been around. This is how we've always done things. You obviously are very opposite. So it's trying to navigate and figure out how do we like marry both of the
right.
those concepts
and,
together.
And I think it's on me just now, and this is weird, every argument we basically ever have, all I ask for is factual evidence to why I'm wrong. And it leads to the fights extending for several days.
Yes.
As ridiculous as that sounds, this is something of factual evidence. From this test that's been around for, 25 years
yeah.
now, however long it's been, and it's a thing in society, or at least here in America, where people, you know, read that book and trust it. So you say, hey, this is one of my love languages. This is important to me. I took the same test you did. So to see that, I go, oh, I need to work on that. And I'm sure I'm not even as good as you would like me to be at it. But it's a conscious effort that I try to make now where just out of the blue almost, if it crosses my mind, I should compliment her. I don't even know what I'm going to say, but I'll be like, oh, I love your scrunchie. That's my favorite scrunchie you have. And you go, what? That's crazy. Oh, but then you blush and melt inside and then we make out.
Right.
It's basically that easy.
But I think it also helps me on my end to know, okay, this isn't something he's purposely trying to hold out on. And because I've been in relationships before where like a guy will purposely not compliment me or not tell me because he doesn't want me to get a big head is what he would tell me.
Yikes.
Like you're pretty, but I don't want to tell you that all the time because I don't want you to get a big head. First of all, you're a f***ing asshole. Like, why would I be with someone? And like, obviously,
yeah.
I realize I should not be with someone like that, no longer with them. But I know it's not something you're doing consciously to not give me a compliment. It's just that's not how you grew up. That's not your love language. It's something that's foreign to you. So that helps me on my end not be like, oh, what the hell? Like, he hasn't, like, I'm trying really hard. I did this, or like, I cleaned the house when he came home, but he doesn't say anything. Just, what, he doesn't appreciate me? No, he just, it's not in his mindset to give out compliments left and right. That's just not who you are.
Yeah, and I feel like I can be who I am, but it's something that it's on me to work on and get
sure.
better at, as opposed to just going, well, because I've used it with you. Well, I'm with you. I share my life with you. I share my bed with you. Obviously, I think you're beautiful. Obviously, I love you. But I guess there's something different to actually verbalizing it.
Right.
Which is something I'm learning. I'm
right.
constantly learning.
But I think as women, I know that, and maybe this is, I shouldn't say as women. Maybe men are like this too. Especially women overthink everything and we read into everything. We think there's a reason behind everything. Like I'm saying with, oh, well, he's been gone and then he came home and I had the house clean. I made him dinner. I did all. Well, why doesn't he appreciate? Oh, maybe it's because of this, or maybe he did this, or maybe he's feeling like, no, like let's not read into things. Let's just call it what it is and let's move on.
Is there any aspect of these love languages that you think could apply to just personal life, not regarding your partner?
Well, here's the thing. Not only do these love languages teach you how to love your partner, but how to love ourselves, right? If this is how I receive love from my partner and my friends, this is how I receive love for myself. For me, it could not be more dead on because my love language is quality time. For example, spend quality time with yourself. I love to be alone. For the most part, I enjoy being by myself. And that to me makes so much sense. Why quality time is my number one. For example, some people might be words of affirmation. Speak to yourself in a positive way. Tell yourself certain mantras. I love myself. Goodness is coming my way. Blessings are coming my, whatever it might be. I know it sounds stupid, but no, it doesn't sound stupid. You should be talking to yourself.
You're having an actual back and forth debate with yourself right now. That's quality time.
This is why I like to be alone. These are voices in my head. This is what they do. By the way, this episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. Anyone that knows me knows that I am obsessed with eating healthy, being clean with my eating, and I'm obsessed with the fact that I can eat some amazing, tasty cereal and still be clean and on my diet. So Magic Spoon has zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. There are 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. Today, I had the frosted flavor, and I cut up bananas and put it inside. It was unbelievable. It tastes amazing, honestly too good to be true. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Go to magicspoon.com/bearwithus to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code BEARWITHUS at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason whatsoever, they're going to refund you your money with no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/bearwithus, B-A-R-E, and use the code BEARWITHUS for free shipping. We'd like to thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring our podcast. You like physical touch.
I do. And when I'm alone as well. I was alone. I was all by myself. No one was looking. I was thinking of you.
See, look, you are turning into me.
That was a Green Day song. That was a hidden track on Green Day's Dookie album.
At first I was afraid. I was petrified.
How do we go from Green Day to Gloria Gaynor?
I could never live without you by my side. I spent so many nights.
This makes me want to watch The Replacements now.
And I was strong.
And I'll just keep having a conversation with myself while you serenade yourself.
I'm out of space.
You're still in outer space, baby. No doubt about that.
I feel like learning our love language is really important. If you guys have not taken this test and you don't know what your partner's love language is, I promise you, once you realize how like they receive love, you will totally understand it. And it will make it so much better and easier on your relationship. All you gotta do, tell me I'm pretty, love me, listen to me when I tell you a story, act like you like me, and then flowers once in a while. That's all I need.
I've checked all the boxes.
Right.
You're making yourself sound very, very low maintenance.
Okay, first of all, I fucking am low maintenance. Do not put that out there like as if I'm high maintenance. What do I ever need or ask you for?
This is what happens
your
when
you... and your love.
This is what happens when you interrupt me in the middle of a thought.
Okay.
Because I was about to finish, because you are not high maintenance. I can verify that. I will say it publicly. You are extremely easy to deal with from a girlfriend perspective.
Ah, thanks, babe.
See what else I did there? I complimented you. Now you're smiling.
And now I'm happy.
I am playing chess while you're playing checkers, baby.
King me, bitch.
Do you think that it is impossible for two people who speak different love languages to get work? Is that like a deal breaker ever? If we each get two and none of them match, do you think that's like a deal breaker?
No, or not at all.
You just have to...
I think it just makes you aware of how you should be giving love to them. It doesn't change who they are and what you love about them. Because let's face it, you don't have to speak their love language to love someone. But to show them you love them and to speak to them and give them the love the way they need to receive it. I mean, it's basically like a cheat sheet book. Like, you're giving them all the answers. This is all I need in order to feel love. That's all you got to do.
Is butt stuff a love language?
Oh, baby.
That was a joke. Ever. I think you should see what's in the mailbox.
It's time, babe. So I'm going to say, I'm going to go out on a limb. Whim or limb?
Limb. You go out on a limb. Or you can do things on a whim, but on a whim means like you didn't plan it.
On a whim. That's on a whim here. Okay, so on a whim here, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I speak 5 languages.
5?
Yes.
What's the 5th?
Here's the mail, it never fails, it makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail.
What was that song about mama on the Chicago.
When you're good to mama.
I like that, yeah.
Mama's good to
you. It wasn't a cue. I didn't actually want you to sing it. I just was wondering what it was.
Well, you can't ask me and then expect me not to sing. Anywho, question number one, honey. Okay, well, this is more of a question for Corey. Okay, I'll go f*** myself then. And no disrespect to Leah because I love her. Oh,
see,
okay.
you interrupted an email. Literally printed in front of you. You okay. Jumped to conclusions.
I'm sorry, girl. I recently ended my 6-year relationship with my kid's father. We're not married, but live together. After years of him putting me through horrible things and cheating on me constantly, ew, I decided to finally end it. Though this last year and a half, he has changed. But I can't get over the fact he cheated time to time, and we also have so much financial problems and arguments. Mostly him always splurging on what he likes with my money. Okay, girl. Okay, I see you. I currently started talking to this guy, and I'm head over heels for him. He's great. And he's always asking me about my kids. Problem is, I'm scared for being in something temporary. After all I've been through, I'm worried to be hurt again. So my question is, when did you finally know that it was over? And when to accept the risk of being with someone who has no kids, but they want to be involved? Thank you so much.
Wow.
I mean, this sounds pretty parallel.
There's a lot to unpack here. First things first, the guy that you are with, or what were
the
with,
baby daddy.
That live with. I know that's a strange situation in and of itself, which I can't fathom how that could be conducive to anything. If you still have doubts, you got to weigh the positives and the negatives. Chances are, if you know it's over, he knows it's over. I went through this. We went through this multiple times where we thought, okay, this is it. And then all of a sudden you get a bright spot. And you
not
go,
me and you.
No,
you
not Leah and I. Yeah. Leah, my ex and I. I'm sorry for clarification. You'll go, oh man, this sucks. And you stop communicating, stop talking. Everything's just kind of blah. This is fine. We're not living. We're just existing. And then something good would happen. And then you go, oh, okay, well, maybe things aren't so bad. And then it's just a cycle. And then within a few days or weeks, everything's right back where it was. And eventually, even if you don't want to verbalize it or it's hard to sit down and have that conversation, you both know. If one of you doesn't know, then I would say that maybe there is a chance. Like if maybe he's been doing something so wrong, obviously cheating, I think the trust is broken. You're right. Not getting that back. You can work around it if you opt to, but there's always going to be that thing in the back of your mind going, I can't trust you 100%. I can get to 95, but I know in the back of your head, you've betrayed me and my trust. That's going to be a hard hurdle to ever get back over. You have to make sure that your baby's daddy and you are done. And you have to end that. You have to put a nail in it. Obviously, you share a child. Hopefully, you guys are both proactive and stay in the kid's life as much as possible because it's not the kid's fault. You guys have to work around. However, it is in my experience, I feel like I'm a better parent. I am more present when I'm with my kids in the situation we're at now. Obviously, this is a whole other conversation, but worry about the kid. Worry about yourself. He probably knows things are broken. Next step, you met this guy that you're head over heels for. That's okay. But the first thing you need to do, cut ties altogether, move out. I don't know what the situation is, but get away. If you got to go stay with a friend or a relative, you can't be living in the same building or same structure as your ex and still be able to move forward. It's that thing that we always talk about. You can't see the future if the past is still present. Cut that down, move on. Next step, it's okay to date somebody new. We're living proof of that. I didn't waste an inordinate amount of time. I wasn't looking for it. It just kind of happened. We sort of fell into each other, and it was what it was. There's no time frame, no time limit. But when he's asking about the kids, keep him away from the kids until you know it's not temporary. As long as you possibly can. He can ask about them if he wants to meet them at some point. Great. But this is on you as a parent to make sure that this new guy is not temporary. He may not be the forever guy. But don't be doing the thing where, oh, I've been dating this guy for a couple weeks. It's time to meet the kids. If the feelings are real and they're great and you see this lasting for some period of time, slowly ease everybody into it. Don't spring it upon them. Let the kid know ahead of time. But you cannot, under any circumstances, just start bringing dudes home.
Like have a revolving door of men that come in your life around the kids.
Because it's just going to confuse the kids. And then when you do finally find one that means something and is going to be around for a while, you're stacking the deck against that person because the kid's going to already be inclined to go, what's different about this guy? We've already seen five other ones. Hopefully that answered some of your questions. It was a long-winded diatribe, but I can relate to a lot of this stuff. So keep your head up. Take care of you first and your kid 1A, 1 and 1A. They're interchangeable. Those are the two things you need to worry about. The world will come into place around you. You guys will be better off and more successful if you handle your own business. Love yourselves first.
And I feel like this is something we keep saying we're going to get into, we're going to get into. Eventually we will, I feel, have an episode based, I mean, you obviously have kids.
Right.
I am not the mother of your children. Like, there's a whole situation. I feel like we could, what we've done is not necessarily a rule book. We're just kind of learning as we go.
There's
but
no
we
rule
know
book.
What has worked for us.
Exactly.
So someday we will get into that. Question number two, honey. That's dos if you're bilingual.
I thought you, how about?
Der if you're trilingual.
Okay, that's three. You claim to, do you claim to be a five language?
No, well, I claim to be four.
No, you literally said minutes ago
because
you speak five.
That was blue. That wasn't, like, that was a joke.
Can blue not say the word two?
Babe, it was a joke. Can you just stop beating me over the head with it? Anywho. Hey, Matt and Leah. I've been a fan of the both of you for a long time, but especially Leah because she went to my alma mater, UMass Dartmouth. Shout out to the Corsairs. Okay, I need your advice.
The what?
The Corsairs.
We're what
like
is
the
a Corsair?
It was like we're pirates.
A Corsair is a pirate?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was our mascot.
I mean, I was born and raised in a city where we have a team called the Pirates, and we know about the Buccos and
Buccaneers.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure. Let me Google it.
Because I feel like there was a car that I recall when I was young that was called a Corsair, which...
I'm almost positive we're the Corsairs.
This is going to be amazing if you
don't
know.
Oh my God. Could you imagine? Let me just Google this. UMass Dartmouth.
Mascot.
Yes. Okay. I am so right.
Okay.
His name is Arnie the Corsair. But he looked like... Yeah. Okay. I am not an idiot.
I didn't think you were an idiot. I didn't know that a Corsair was another name
I'm
for a pirate.
I'm so proud of myself that I even remember that. I haven't thought about college since the day I f***ing left. Anywho, shout out to my alma mater. I've been married for nearly 3 years and officially with my wife for 6.5. But we're in a funk sexually, and I was wondering what you guys would do to bring the spark back sexually. I know I love her more than anything, but I'm not a very sexual person. I hope to hear from you soon. Sincerely, Dan. P.S. Leah, keep doing the male song. You're killing it. Okay, love, Dan. What do you think, babe?
I was going to defer to you. You let me have the last one, and I went on a diatribe that you always make fun of me for.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're going to go through funks. There's no way you're going to just have perfect sex 7 days a week for the rest of your relationship. It's just not going to happen. I wouldn't say we've gotten into like a funk sexually.
I mean, the genesis of this podcast was me making an offhanded comment about feeling like a panda bear.
That's true.
Which was a very temporary thing.
Well, that's why I'm like, it was a few days. It wasn't even like we had gone weeks without
right.
it. So I guess for us, that would be a funk. Feel bad for all of you other suckers out there. But I mean, it's never going to be perfect. But if he's saying he's not that sexual of a person, I guess you have to figure out what your wife is into and what she likes. And sometimes we have to do things for our partner that we might not necessarily be a big fan of or super into, but we know our partner likes it. So you just sort of have fun and explore and experiment, right?
This is where communication and honesty come into the equation. First of all, you have to have the conversation. Which,
yeah, if you're acting like you're not having an issue, that to me is like a problem.
An issue.
Just sit down and be like, hey, so listen, we haven't had sex in a while. We're going through a dry spot. There's okay. Like, I feel like that brings you even closer together to admit that and talk
right.
about it.
And once you kick down that door, which is the hardest part of any conversation that's uncomfortable, once you get it started, it might start rolling.
And open Pandora's box.
You may learn some things that you never knew. She may open some door in your brain that you've kind of been running from or trying to keep locked, and you may go, oh, well, this sounds interesting. All you can do is chat about it. And she may have some crazy, kinky side you never knew about. She may just want something completely standard and normal, and whatever she's into is totally fine.
And but it could just be, sorry, I don't want to interrupt
yes,
you.
Yes, you do. That's all you do, literally.
Well, okay, but now I'm thinking and I want to answer. You were very long-winded on the last question, so let me speak now. So it could just be something where, like, we're talking about love languages. Maybe she just feels like she doesn't feel attractive to you. not attracted to you, but attractive. Maybe you haven't told her what a babe she is lately, and she's just not feeling super confident. And all she wants is for you to be like, babe, you're so sexy. I love you. Your body is hot. Whatever it is you love about her, tell her. And then that will make her feel loved and appreciated, turned on. And then she'll want to have sex with you. And I'm sure she doesn't not want to have sex with you, but sometimes a little compliment goes a long way. Maybe have a nice dinner. Take her out to dinner. Buy her some flowers. Go to a lingerie store together. Shop for some lingerie.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to turn it on. Okay, I'm done talking now.
Oh, okay. I was just waiting for my cue to speak again. I'm done. You checked all the boxes. Yeah, but good luck, Dan. I'm sure you'll figure it out. Just talk to each other. And if you, you know, are a total, complete, raging pervert inside, I'm sure she'll run screaming for the door.
Or maybe she is too, and she's just waiting for you to bring it out of her.
There you go.
Maybe watch 365
no,
days on
whatever
Netflix.
You do, don't watch 365 days under any circumstance. Watch out for that mic. I know we've only done this a few times, and it moves on you.
You guys, you're really just the best. We really appreciate you and all of the reviews and the ratings, everything you're putting into this podcast. We could not do this without you, and we feel like, you know, we just started this and we're just rambling on about bullshit and singing show tunes. And now here we are. It's like 15 episodes in or something like that. And you guys are just awesome. So we love hearing from you. We love the emails you're sending in, the questions you have, the comments you're leaving on our Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you're following us at Bear With Us Pod and send us some emails in the mailbag. What is it?
BearWithUsPod@gmail.com.
So yeah, reach out, leave a little compliment, a little note. Now you know
a
I like compliments.
Note, if you will.
A little. What is this?
I don't know.
Is
that's
that
what
me?
You do. Yes.
Oh, fuck you.
Literally, you get these gopher paws when you do Alexis. You morph into a T-Rex.
I don't know why I do that.
I don't know
either.
Because
I watch Schitt's Creek all the time.
Yeah, I know, but I don't understand the paws.
I don't understand your shirt, by the way.
As long as New England loses.
I hate him so much.
Doesn't take a rocket scientist.
I do not speak that language. Femme la bouche.
What does that mean?
I mean, shut your mouth in French.
Langue de bœuf. You know what that means? Beef tongue.
So good. Oh, I really intend to.
All right, we got to get out of here.
Thanks, guys. Bear with us.
Bye forever.
Shout out to the Corsairs.